Translation. Here is a learned, highly qualified Brahman engaged in performing austerity and eagerly desiring to worship the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, who lives within the core of the heart in all living entities. The poet, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The wife of a Brahman, the wife of the Brahman did not regard her husband as a superficial Brahman, who was called a Brahman merely because he was born of a Brahman family. Rather, this Brahman was actually qualified with the Brahminical symptoms. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35. The symptoms of a Brahman are stated in the Shastra. Shamo damas tapashocham, shantir arjavam evacha, jnanam vijnanam ashtikam, brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmins work. Sri Bhagavad Gita, 1842. Not only must a Brahmin be qualified, but he must also engage in actual Brahminical activities. Simply by to be qualified is not enough. One must engage in a Brahmin's duties. The duty of a Brahmin is to know the Param Brahma, Krishna. Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram Param Bhavan. Because this Brahman was actually qualified and was also engaged in Brahminical activities, Brahma Karma, killing him would be a greatly sinful act, and the Brahman's wife requested that he not be killed. Om Miganti Mirandasya Ganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Jevam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advait Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare So this ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives many dynasties. Just like the Bible, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so. It goes on for pages. And what's the use of all this? You know, that's a long time ago. Well, the same things are going on now. Is that, you know, Maharaj Yudhisthira asked, what's the most amazing thing? And he had the intelligence to answer that everybody's making plans for a long life. But we see all around us that everybody's life is being cut short. We don't know when and we don't know where. So therefore it's described that Maharaj Parikshit was fortunate in that respect. He knew when and where. So he had time to prepare. So this ninth canto is also stating all these dynasties. One reason is that we see that these were very, very powerful kings. They were not just in control of this earth, but some of them were in control of the Bhumandal. So the Bhumandal is a whole range of islands which are in the middle planetary system. If we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says in the middle is which mandal is it? It's Jambudvip, and there's nine varshas, and then there's another vip, and then a salt ocean, another vip, and then a milk ocean, another one, a liquor ocean, another one, and a salt, sugarcane ocean, and another one, right up to the end of the universe. And all these islands are inhabited, and the king was in charge of all that. So we can just imagine how powerful he was. But who remembers them now? They're only powerful by virtue that they're in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that saying goes that nobody's really famous in this world, only a devotee. The king's famous by being a devotee, and therefore his activities are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And so in this page we see, I think it's the 11th canto. 11th canto, it explains that the Mother Earth is laughing at all these kings. You fools. You know, you were so powerful. You thought you could actually do so much. Now where are you? So Mother Earth's putting the cap on. That, you know, don't try to enjoy this world. Even you become so successful, then it's just a waste of time. I see even as devotees, we were speaking yesterday about, you know, this material contamination, it's not a small thing. You know, we get a bodily contamination. And nowadays, these contaminations, you know, Kali Yuga, they take some getting rid of. You know, we need really heavy medicines. And eventually, I've got rid of it. But there's another one waiting, of course. And so similarly, this material world is the same. That contamination is much, much deeper. And therefore, even in devotional service, we bring in these contaminations. And this is where the distress lies. There's no problem with performing devotional service. It's just the way we see things, the paradigm through which we see things. When we see things through the proper paradigm, through the eyes of Shastra, through the eyes of the devotees, and through the eyes of the spiritual master, then very quickly we can overcome this suffering condition. But whenever we have the materialistic paradigms, many of them, then we'll experience so many difficulties. So Mother Bhumi in the 11th canto is warning us that, you know, this 9th canto is very just as important as the other 9 cantos. They're progressively more important. So Lord Krishna is giving an inclination, giving us some inspiration that, you know, nobody can enjoy this world. So we come on to this verse where there's one king called, what's his name again? Soda. Yes, Sudas, also known as Kalma Sabhad. And he had another name as well. Anyway, he's one of the famous kings in the dynasty, and just shows you he was minding his own business. You know, somebody came into his temple, into his kingdom, and he happened to be the brother of somebody he'd actually killed. And he was so merciful, this Rakshasa, he killed the Rakshasa, and his brother, you know, he said, okay, you seem to be reformed, I won't kill you. So the very same person came into his kingdom, unknown, and cooked meat in the kitchen, and served his guest that meet, who happened to be a great sage, Vasishtha. And Vasishtha, somehow or other, this is the omnipotence of the Lord, or the covering potency of the Lord. Vasishtha could understand that there was actually meat in the preparation, so he blamed Sodasa. You would have thought if he's got that vision, he could see that actually this is a Rakshasa who's cooked this in his kitchen. So this is the way the Lord works. He arranges situations so that, you know, the pastime can be performed. He covered the Vasishtha enough so that he would create difficulty for Sodasa, which we're reading about now. So this is the material world. We don't look for trouble. But trouble always comes. And when we settle down to accept that, then we can actually get on with devotional service. Sometimes we're too busy trying to mitigate faults, mitigate difficulties. But we just find there's one after another, one after another, one after another. So, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, this point's explained in the 14th chapter, in many chapters, but particularly in the 14th chapter, he's talking about the modes of nature. And it says a devotee doesn't try to enjoy the modes of nature, and he doesn't try to get out of the modes of nature. What? So what this particular verse is saying is that we learn to live in the modes of nature. We learn to live with the difficulties that we have. And that way we can actually resolve all conflicting difficulties within ourselves. Whenever we're trying to mitigate anything, either subtle or gross, then we'll be in turmoil. As soon as we settle down that, actually, these things are going to come, all I can be concerned about with is devotional service. Actually, Radhana Swami gave a talk last night. He was talking about we're concerned with grains of sand. You know, and because we anything we home in on, it becomes huge. Is that right? It becomes, you know, it completely takes over the mind. So we're absorbed in minor issues of this material world and this particular temporary body we're inhabiting at this moment. But these minor issues, they'll come and they'll go. So he said we should deal with these things in an appropriate way. But we shouldn't become attached to that situation. We shouldn't become attached to wanting our own solution to the problem. In other words, when we go out in the rain, we put some clothes on, and we usually put something to cover us from the rain. We're going to get wet through anyway if we stay out in it long enough, unless we've got some Gore-Tex. I understand that's pretty good. And we take precaution, and we get on with our activities. So this is the same in the material. We settle down to the main point is: am I actually fixed on in the service of Krishna? And if I'm fixed in the service of Krishna, actually these other things will not be so prominent in my life. They'll be there, but I'll be able to deal with them. So here, we're talking about Brahman. So what is a Brahman? 1854 it says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochite Naskankshati Samak Sarvishu Bhutishu Magmakte Labhate Param. And it's talking about the Jnani who comes to the point of understanding is not the body but is spiritual by nature. Understanding that point, he becomes fully joyful. But then what happens? He doesn't stay at that point. He engages in devotional service. So then he comes to another level of Brahman. By devotional service, one starts to see the super soul within the heart, or Krishna within the heart. And so this is the particular situation of this Sodasa. He's a Brahman on the platform of super soul realization. Vedanti tat tatra vidas tatra nyajkanam advayam brahmati paramatmati bhagavad nidhi shabdite. Different transcendentalists will see Brahman in different ways. But a real Brahman is seen even above this platform of super soul. He's learning to understand the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. So this is mentioned in this verse. So it says one who engages in devotional service and he doesn't actually come into material consciousness at any point, by just being fully focused, as we've seen in the beginning of this class, on devotional service, he transcends all modes of nature, even though he is in the modes of nature. And why? Because Brahmanohi Pratistaham Amritash Vashya Yashyacha Shashvatasya Chidamasya Sukashyas Antikashyacha. So this means he's liberated, he's free from the happiness and distress of this world. He's actually on the platform of real happiness, of real eternity, just by being fully engaged in the service of the Lord. So this is real Brahman. Prabhupada said this is a movement of Brahmins. Is that right? A movement of Brahmins. But the thing is, what do we see as Brahman? What's our idea of a Brahman? Let's have some answers. Be interesting to find out. It's what? The qualities of a Brahman. Sama Damasta Tapasocham. Yeah? Self-realized. Yes, he's, at least he realizes he's not the body. That's the lowest stage. So he's... there's different stages of self-realization. Tolerant. Yeah, these are the nine qualities of a Brahman. So when we're at the temple, we're going to take Brahman initiation. Is that right? Why? Eh? Good point. This is a good point. What else? Perform deity worship. Yeah, there's hands going up and there was another one saying yes, deity worship. So
accept charity and new charity.
Yeah. Patam Parthan Yajan Yajan Dana Pratigraha. So generally, I mean, I may be wrong and so you can correct me, but I generally see that, you know, we need a pujari. You know what I mean? He's been around for a few years. Give him Brahman. He deserves it. So then, you know, you're going to take offering naughty. So this is Brahminical. But actually, it's much more than that. Prabhupada, we're a Brahminical movement. He says we're a Brahminical movement. And so that Brahminical movement, these six activities of a Brahmin, how many are actually concerned with the deity? Two, worshipping the deity and teaching others how to worship the deity. The other one is giving charity and receiving charity. What's this one? What does Prabhupada talk in the Nectar of Instruction? He talks about, you know, people will come and they'll give some donation, they'll feed the devotees, and we will give them transcendental knowledge. So now we've got two qualities that are actually preaching. And what's the other one? Somebody mentioned it. Hey? Yeah, studying Shastra and giving Shastra. So, you know, out of the six qualities of a Brahman, four of them are preaching. So, you know, we're a preaching movement. We're totally designed for, you know, accepting Krishna consciousness ourselves and giving it to others. This was Prabhupada's mode. I think I've given the story about when he was on a morning walk in Hyde Park, and one devotee from England, he was on the group who were following Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was talking about good fortune, how we come to devotional service by past pious activities. Krita Punya Punya, it mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And this devotee was thinking that, you know, I can't remember performing any pious activities. Maybe I'm performing some now I'm in devotional service, but before I came here, I was on all kinds of nonsense. So how is it? What's Prabhupada saying? And so eventually he plucked up courage and said, "So Prabhupada turned on and said, yes," he said, "you said we come to devotional service after many pious activities." Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's true." And he said, "I can't remember performing any pious activities, Prabhupada." He says, and Prabhupada pointed his cane at him and said, no, he says, I'm your pious activities. He says, now what I've done for you, you do for others. So this is the mood of Prabhupada. This is why he meant Brahman. Brahman means liberal. Liberal means giving to others. So maybe we should reassess when we give Brahman initiation. Is this person actually, is he on the preaching platform? Preaching platform, Madhyamadikari. Or at least serving a Madhyamadikari. We still need pujaris though. So this is the time of the year for preaching this about brahminical qualities. Anybody who's going out there and sees the need to give Krishna consciousness, actually this is Brahman, whether there's a thread there or not. And even if we have a thread there and we're not really seen in that way, it's debatable whether we're actually real Brahman. Otherwise, we can get caught up with ritualistic devotional service. And, you know, when things become ritualistic, it becomes like every day is the same thing. And, you know, to come to the temple becomes the same thing. It becomes like, you know, a club, doesn't it? We come to the temple, we do the same things, put something in the box, listen for 10 minutes and go out, take some prasadam and go home. And, you know, who's going to be enlivened by that? Nobody. You know, especially if you're giving class to that situation, you know, halfway through, 10 minutes into the class, you know, everybody starts piling out. So, why is that? Because when we come to the movement, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is very, very attractive. Lord Krishna's philosophy of giving Krishna consciousness is very attractive. It's very enlivening to the heart. And when devotees come to the temple, if that mood is given to them, they'll naturally take it up. They'll naturally become interested in the philosophy, interested in giving Krishna consciousness to others. So, So in that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we was just quoting about the three levels of Brahman, Brahman vision, it says that, the three levels of vision. In material life, we have relative vision, and this Varnashram system, because we have relative vision, we take on a particular order in the Varnashram system. Some people are seeing I get my taste from serving like a Shudra, I get my taste from serving like a Vaishya, I get my taste from serving like a Kshatriya, I get a taste from serving like a Brahman. But Prabhupada said this is still on the material platform. And when we get the taste from actually serving Krishna, this is the Vaishnava platform. So, I think Bhakti Radha Richard Swami was speaking yesterday about Brahman initiation is actually not needed for self-realization. Harinam initiation is sufficient. Because by chanting the holy name of the Lord, if we're chanting it properly, then we can come to the platform of Brahman. We can come to understand Brahman, Paramatma, and also Krishna. And that's actually enough. So this is on the absolute platform. So we were talking yesterday about, as a devotee, we have to develop this absolute vision. And in this way, we can start to perform pure devotional service. We don't see differences between devotees. Brahman, Kshatriya, or that tendency, or like that. We just see that this is a devotee who's serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't know what particular platform he's on. He may be just doing some simple service, but what's the quality of his service to Krishna? This is something only Krishna and the devotee can see. So with that type of vision, we can respect everybody. But if we'd still seen on the platform of Varnashram, then we tend to maybe disrespect others. So, here Lord Kapiladev in the third canto to back up this point about chanting. is stating that Atar Sri Krishna Namadi Nama Vetgrem Indriya Sevam Mukhi Jivido Swayam Eva Spuratyada. He said that ordinarily we cannot understand Krishna. Krishna is transcendental. He says, but by the process of devotional service, starting with the tongue, then Krishna can be understood. So these two processes we all know is chanting the holy name and taking prasadam. Then by this service attitude to the Supreme Lord, the senses become purified, and then one's vision starts to change. So when Lord Chaitanya was here, he purposely only gave 8 instructions on the Shikshastikam. And the first 3 instructions are all about chanting the holy name. So, there's some more points in this particular verse. Yes, oh, that's the other point, actually. One last point before we wrap up. Is this Sodasa, he was cursed to be a Rakshasa by Vasishtha Muni. And so Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita how one takes on a body, just like one may get out of one car into another one, and one has to act according to the limitations of that body. So this is pretty graphic that although he was a very elevated king, as soon as he was put into that situation, he couldn't even take that good instruction. He had to act according to the body. So this is the process of devotional service. I think it's in the 4th chapter. He says the devotee has to learn to control his nature, overcome the nature, the lower nature, and this is possible by devotional service. By hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, then this tendency to just act uncontrollably, we cannot control our situation, becomes overcome. And so this Sodashna, he was put into a very difficult situation, the body of a Rakshasa. And therefore he was finding it very difficult to follow these instructions of the Brahman's wife. So similarly in devotional service, we also find it very difficult to follow instructions. But Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita that one should strenuously try to overcome desire and anger. Because from one comes the other. Desire to satisfy the senses, and then when the senses are not satisfied, then comes we become angry or greedy for more enjoyment. So I think we'll stop there. It's nearly 8:30. Does anybody have any questions or any comments?